Worms, Captain of Compost, Doctor of Dirt, Old Natural Howard, and lots of other goofy names. I call him Dad. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Happy Dad's Day to everybody out there, especially the dads. Thanks for taking a little time to be with us. To chat, it's 866-444-3478, 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. I'm going to do something I've been promising to do now for about an hour, and let's finish something I was speaking about, but I wanted to let you know that there's a contest going on. Somebody's already on hold to guess the contest photograph. It is put on the website. When you go to dirtdoctor.com, there's the big button at the top rotates. It goes from information about the natural organic certification course to me explaining a fire ant control technique to an explanation of the course that I have on tape to the fourth one, the contest question, and answering, being the first to answer the contest question, in other words, identify the photograph, what the photograph is, you win one of the tests, one of the certification courses. The value is about $195 for individual sale of it, so we'll get to that in just a minute. But first of all, we started talking about herbicides earlier, and I was talking to one of the callers about using vinegar. We recommend a lot of organic herbicides, and there's several, and there are more and more on the market all the time. The technology is moving pretty quickly because even the chemical companies are saying that they need to get into that market. Have something that's not carcinogenic and not doesn't have the problems that a lot of the products have. And we're always recommending these kind of things. Well, there's a guy on the other radio station in this market that's the opposite of what I talk about. He has no problem with synthetic fertilizers. He thinks they're great. He has no problem with toxic pesticides. He thinks they're great. And one of the things that he's always been real soft on is Roundup. Well, in his latest newsletter, he did something that just really sent me over the edge. And I put this on Facebook. I put my response to it on Facebook. He made the comment that Roundup, glyphosate, the ingredient in Roundup, is inactive in the soil. Now, that seems like a fairly mild comment, but it's not. It's exactly what's wrong with these people that continue to recommend these toxic chemicals. Saying that it's inactive in the soil is just, you know, he either hadn't taken the time. He's not the only one. There's universities that are still doing this. And it's amazing to me. They either haven't taken the time to really look at the data, or they're just liars. They're just lying about it and want to preserve their authority and not admit that they've been saying something, recommending something that's incorrect. Not only is Roundup active and continues to be active in the soil, it's being found in water in remote places where Roundup has never been used, and in the soil and all over the place. It is found as a residual in farming, so bad in no-till farming that the organic matter that's left on the ground in these no-till situations will not degrade because it fouls up the living organisms in the soil so badly. So it's being found in the soil, in the water. It's being found in animals. It's being found in blood. It's being found in mother's milk. It's being found all over the place, and it's now very strongly directly linked to cancer, autism, Parkinson's disease, and autism in children. I may have already said that. One of the worst things, and that is the one that's growing exponentially. So saying that Roundup is inactive in the soil makes me really mad, as you can tell. people need, if you want to continue to recommend it, fine. But look at the data and admit that the data is there. There's tons of it on our website on dirtdoctor.com in the library. There's even more in the Texas Organic Research Center.org, which is our 501c3. It's the organization that brings you the natural organic certification course. But just so you know, if you're new to this conversation, there is nothing inactive and goes away quickly about Roundup as has been marketed by that product. Bad stuff. And that's why we talk about the alternatives, you know, that we do the vinegars and all those kind of things. Okay, settle down, Howard. Now let's go back to Lynn in New York. What's the name of the town, Lynn? What's the name of the town?
Outside of Syracuse.
Just outside of Syracuse. Okay, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so fortunate to have discovered you. I really appreciate everything you do. And happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you very much.
Vogan is mighty lucky to have a dad like you.
Well, she's a good kid.
Yeah, she sounds like she is. I'm just totally distraught, Howard. I really appreciate you being there for me. We've been in this house for about 19 years and have never used toxins at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got three Colorado blue spruce out front, which are just absolutely gorgeous. They're probably, one in the middle is probably only about 40 feet tall, but the others are probably 60 feet tall. I'm thinking they're 40 plus years old. And they've always been gorgeous, you know, flush to the ground branches, so dense that you can't even see.
Right.
And they're losing their branches from the bottom, losing needles on the inside. You know, as you look at the tree from the road, you know, you never used to be able to see through it. Now you can start to see through them.
Is something changed, Lynn?
Well, I know you know what did change was my husband did plant a red oak, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
Probably about 12 years ago, and it's got huge. So it's changed where we know it's pretty shaded. He put another maple that's kind of shading part of the day on some of these trees. But what I did do was, you know, we could never see the root flare because these trees were so dense.
Right,
and
right.
When we started losing the branches at the bottom, I found that they had actually put that weed control material up the trunks.
Oh, okay.
Around the tree and up the trunks.
Right.
So, you know, I ripped all that out, exposed the root flare. I feel like I'm on root flare patrol everywhere now.
Okay, good.
And I just don't know what else to do because they're so large.
Well, you're doing the right thing. That's the first step of what we call the sick tree treatment. The rest of it is to aerate the root zone either with hydrogen peroxide in a liquid way, spray it out with a Garrett juice mixture, and then you put out the amendments, same amendments that we recommend for bed preparation, compost, rock minerals, and sugars, cornmeal, and dry molasses. And if you don't have too much shade from the red oak and the other trees, that could be a part of the problem. But I think you're doing exactly what needs to be done. I think that covering the flare and part of the base of the trunk like they did is what caused the stress that led to the thinning out of the trees. And I think you'll see them turn around and be great.
So if I'm going to be doing all that with the root zone, that will be under the tree and past the drip line too, or?
No, just to uncover the flare. Once you get out to the point where you can step on the flare, it's turning out horizontally enough to where you could literally stand on it if you wanted to. You don't need to keep going farther out than that. Just getting the flare exposed is the key.
Yeah, we did find one root that was girdling.
I should have said that myself. Any circling, girdling roots or spaghetti-looking roots that are growing up, trying to get up to oxygen, cut all of that away just like you'd cut off a bad limb in the top of the tree.
Okay.
All right.
So the hydrogen peroxide, and then I'll find all the other stuff under the 60 tree treatment at your website, right?
Yeah, just go to dirtdoctor.com and click on guides. That button takes you to all my formulas and all the programs and explains it all in detail.
So you think I do have a chance?
Oh, yeah, they'll be fine. Send me pictures. Send me some before and afters on this, okay?
Okay, will do. Thanks a ton, Howard.
Appreciate
have a great
it.
Day.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And that's one of the things I cover kind of ad nauseum in the course is the sick tree treatment and the different places where it should be used, how it works, exactly the details of what's in it and how to do it and all that stuff, because it's so important. And the sick tree treatment can work in so many ways, diseases, insect problems, and it works on woody plants of all kinds, not just trees, you know, blueberries to roses and everything in between. I'm Howard Garrett. We'll talk to more people right after this break at 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
EXO Odor Neutralizer is the original all-natural odor-eliminating air freshener. It is non-toxic, pH-neutral, and no fragrances. If you want to get rid of big odors, but do it naturally and keep it safe for children and pets, then you've got to try EXO Odor Neutralizer, available in stores everywhere. Just ask for EXO Odor Neutralizer. For more information, go to exocorp.com or call 800-442-9696. Ask for and start enjoying EXO Odor Neutralizer today.
Lava sand is a critical part of my organic recommendations for bed preparation and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. I have found a high-quality lava product with significant paramagnetism. It's American Rio and their Maverick Lava Sand Soil Amendment. It'll dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. You can buy it in bags or bulk. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752 or go to AmericanRio.com.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow. With Bonnie.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dear doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
At Wakanaga of America, we have dedicated the past 44 years proudly producing Kyolic, the world's most scientifically researched, best-selling, and odorless aged garlic extract. We begin with 100% organically grown garlic from our farms in California for maximum purity. We age our garlic to perfection in a unique 20-month extraction process to eliminate odor and create beneficial compounds found only in Kyolic. Aged garlic extract has been researched in more than 750 published scientific studies at major universities such as Brown, Cornell, and UCLA. Studies have focused on cholesterol, high blood pressure, immune stimulation, and all major cardiovascular risk factors. This is the Kyolic difference. So when you're looking for a supplement for great cardiovascular support, reach for the number one best-selling and odorless aged garlic extract, Kyolic. Please visit our website at Kyolic.com. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at fine health food stores everywhere.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and it is time to go chat with Jonathan in Waxahachie, because I believe he has a guess on what the contest photo is showing. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Howard. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to guess the leaf beetle.
Leaf beetle is not correct, but I appreciate you being the first to give it a shot. Did you have a question for me or anything other than that?
No, I didn't. I looked and looked and looked. This one's, for me, at least a tough one, so...
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit tricky, too. I'll have to tell you that, because sometimes the damage that is shown on that leaf looks a little bit different than that, but that's fairly common. So we'll see how it goes when other people give it a guess. Thank you, Jonathan.
No problem. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Uh-huh. It is Elaine's turn in Grayford. Is that Grayford, Texas, Elaine?
Yes, it is.
What's going on?
I had a question. Of course, that's why people call in. I had a gentleman stop by here, I guess, about a week and a half ago, and then he dropped off the product information for me last week on a product called Surmount. It's an herbicide by Dow. And I was just wondering if you'd heard of it, if you have any opinion on it.
Well, have you looked at the label,
Elaine? I've got the label right in front of me. I've not had a chance to check it out online, but the active ingredient.
Yeah, I pulled it up. I'm looking at it myself.
Okay.
It's a nasty product.
Okay.
Picloram is one of the herbicides that we're the most opposed to because it's so recalcitrant. In other words, it lasts a long, long time on sites, and it also is really, really hard to get rid of with composting. And it's one of those things where a lot of farmers and ranchers are using it, and it's ending up getting in the manure of the animals and ended up in compost. And it's especially hard on things in the nightshade family, tomatoes, peppers, things like that. That product also has several other chemicals, including naphthalene in it. So
yes.
If you're interested in doing anything with the natural approach, this organic thing we talk about, it would be far from being acceptable.
Oh, and he had just stop by because we've got so much prickly pear, and I mean, you can see from the road, and that's why he'd stop by. And I said, well, you know, I've got all my animals out here. We've got sheep. We've got chickens. I don't need anybody to get poisoned way or another. Yeah. We don't use any of this stuff, no chemicals on any other part of the garden or the property. We normally just mow for the prickly pear.
Yeah.
And that has been, we've been pretty successful figuring out if you do it in February or August and do it a couple of times, it tends to get rid of it. And he's, you know, oh, we can spray this stuff on there. And within 3 days, especially with this heat, you'll see it starting to disappear. And I said, well, you know, bring me, I wanted the MSD a sheet, but at least he brought me the label and wanted to know if you had any input. And obviously this is something that I don't want to be using.
No, and it's bad stuff. And I can give you some tips of, on the prickly pear. Anyway, I ran in it. I'm glad I looked it up because it uses a term that's new. You know, MSDS is what I'm normally looking for.
Right.
They're using the term SDS now, which
really?
Is safety data sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a change that's been made overall or not. On the prickly pear, the way what you're doing is fine. Continuing to knock it down is fine. But it makes a wonderful compost. So if you have some...
We've done that before, too.
Yeah.
And we've got so much, we just work in sections. And the sheep eat it down, too. There are times when, you know, we'll go out there and it's obvious that they've been picking at it and kicking at it. And they'll break it up for us.
Well, the rest of what I'd recommend for you, if you pile it up and just push it in a pile and leave it, you don't have to maintain it as a compost pile. It'll break down into really pretty stuff that you can use then to put on the land to improve it so that the cactus will stop trying to grow there. The other thing is, whenever you see a tree care company or a line clearing company in your area, go tap them on the shoulder and say, would you come dump that those
tree trimmings
on my place and just spread them out. Spread them out in a thick layer in the areas that are a problem. There's nothing you can do that's more cost effective and will start to improve the soil better, more effectively than doing that. Doesn't cost you a thing. And the prickly pear will just die away with that kind of soil improvement.
And every little bit helps as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and okay. Can I give you one more tip that I thought of while I was on hold?
Sure.
This is animal related. It's not plant related. But we have one of our dogs is a 12-and-a-half-year-old German Shepherd. And I was using some old Rimadyl. I figured I'd use that up and see if it could help him as far as movement with his hips.
Uh-huh.
Looked up online to see if there was anything else available. And there's a product called Duralactin. It is an over-the-counter, it says it's for long-term management of chronic inflammatory conditions in dogs. I've had him on this for 15, he just got his 15th dose this morning, so I guess 15 days, and double the recommended dosage for the loading period, and I have seen him run three times this last week, and I've not seen him run for probably 2 months.
Well, did you look and see what the active ingredient in it was?
Yep, it is. And I've got the thing right in front of me. It's called microlectin. It's dried milk protein.
Wow.
And it's 1,000 milligrams per tablet. And with his weight, he's getting 2 tablets.
That's cool. And it's called Duralactin.
Duralactin.
Well, I'll run it by our friend in San Antonio, Dan Kirby, and see what he thinks about it. But it sounds great. That's a good tip.
It's wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Howard.
Bye. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back right after this. Until now, no university or school of any kind has offered a degree program or certification in the world of organic gardening, farming, horticulture, or agriculture. That's now changed with a brand new online natural organic certification course. The course is taught with 15 chapters of video instruction and includes 25-page study booklet. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the certification course banner.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478, or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and we're going to go to Oak Lawn, I assume that's Dallas, and chat with Fran. Hello, Fran.
Hey, it's Oak Lawn, Illinois.
Oak Lawn, Illinois. Okay, that makes more sense about what the question is. What can I do for you?
Well, a few weeks ago, I called in, and I asked about the probability, whether or not some Nysa sylvatica, they call it Tupelo, would resprout after I have some energetic nephews, and they damaged it. It's about 4 inches in diameter. I cut it down, as you suggested, but I forgot to ask how to deal with the sprouts. I want to retrain it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when should I begin removing sprouts? And
right away. We call that tree black gum, and it's a gorgeous tree. It's one of my favorite trees, actually. I can't grow it because our alkaline soil, it won't grow here. It has to have acid, sandy type soil. Beautiful, beautiful fall color. Just take the it grows over in East Texas, but not here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. take the most healthy looking one of the shoots that's coming up, the biggest, healthiest looking one, and cut all the rest of them down. That's all you have to do, and that'll transfer all the energy into that one sprout, and you'll be surprised how quickly, if you can protect it, that it will become a nice little tree again.
That was my first instinct. Okay.
That's all you got to do.
I'll see you. Bye.
All right. Thanks. Well, and using the organic techniques and products, a little drench of Garrett juice with some mycorrhizal fungus would be really good for that. Here's Bill in Benbrook. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Howard, how's it going?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
I've got a quick question so I can get into church. Bought our place here in Benbrook about 4 years ago. On the east side of the house, there is a what they call a desert willow.
Yeah.
It's probably 10 to 12 inches trunk.
Wow.
It's about 25 feet tall.
Yeah.
I guess you're familiar with that.
Oh, sure. That's a big one.
It is. It's a big one and a beautiful tree. And, the, you know, it comes out, looks like a big cluster of grapes on the limbs. And then each one of these flowers, one flower on that pod blossoms in the morning. When the sun goes down, it falls off. The next morning, there's another one out of that cluster. Anyway, don't mean you know all about that anyway. But we've had some severe winds this spring and 60 to 70 mile an hour winds. The first night, I lost about a third of the tree. One of the largest limbs split off and ripped down the side.
Mm.
And cleaned all that up. And the next, well, the night after that, we had another one. And it took another chunk out of the tree. The only thing I have left is the one in the middle. It's kind of spindly and still about 25 feet tall. But all of the blossoms have, and I've never seen it like this. That tree was covered. But all the blossoms finally fell off, and now they've dried up and dropped off. It may have made a mistake. I used that prune tree spray after cutting or whatever, and the black stuff. And now everything is gone. All the blossoms and the leaves are beginning to fall off and collect on the ground on the patio. And I don't know what to do. I love that tree. One of the best ones I've ever seen. Well, is there anything I can do?
Yeah, this is a perfect candidate for the sick tree treatment, Bill. You didn't hurt, kill the tree with the black pruning paint. I just don't recommend it. I don't think it does any good, and I think the wounds heal quicker without it. Sick tree treatment, and even though it's been doing well for a long time, do a little bit of work on the base. Expose the flare dramatically, and then apply the rest of the sick tree treatment to the plant, and hopefully it will, that shoot that's left, that trunk that's left will come back and be okay. And if not, you'll probably get some shoots like we were talking to the previous caller that'll be coming up from the ground. One or the other, you'll probably be able to save the tree. But the sick tree treatment would be absolutely what I'd recommend you do, and do it right away.
Before it broke off, Howard, it was probably 9 or 10 feet off the ground. So it didn't get down into the main trunk. It's just, the limbs that go up from
just
the main.
Just messed it up cosmetically, off. Yeah. Just trim the rough stuff up if you haven't already done that. And I'd still do sick tree treatment because it'll give that.
I sure will.
It'll improve the soil. It'll improve the root system. And that's going to help the top. How you can prevent further damage of the top from crazy wind storms like that, just keep your fingers crossed. That's about all you can do. Selective pruning can help some, but when it's really violent wind, there's not a lot that can be done.
That's for sure.
All right, good luck.
Can I ask you just one quick question?
Sure.
I planted four tomato plants, and we got this probably 3 or 4 foot high bush, and there's blooms all over it, but nothing seems to be happening. What I need to spray on that to get the blooms to set? There are a few small tomatoes that have already turned red even, but it's it should be putting out tomatoes like, you know.
Well, one thing that can be done wrong in that regard is fertilizing too much, where you're getting so much luxuriant growth that all the energy is going into the foliage. So if you're over-fertilizing, that could be part of the problem. The thing that I use that helps to set buds, flowers, buds, and fruit better than anything else is just the simple Garrett juice formula. And the formula is on our website. You can make it yourself and use it, or you can buy one of the commercial products. But I'd recommend drenching it into the root zone and also spraying it on the foliage. If you've been over-fertilizing, you just kind of have to wait that out. But I think the Garrett juice will help you get the thing to start setting some buds.
I didn't make it clear. These are planted in large pots.
Same thing.
The wife used one of the best brands of potting soil that has about 6 months of fertilizer in it, and mixed with the best brand of garden soil. And that's what we put them in those pots. And I just wondered if maybe it's too much. I don't know, or not enough. I don't know.
I'm curious. What is the best brand of potting soil that you used?
Golly, is it Scotts?
Well, that's what I figured you were going to say, and I wouldn't agree with that comment at all. That means that it's got synthetic fertilizer in it, and which I don't recommend, and it's also loaded with peat moss. So what you might want to do is add some earthworm castings, some compost, some of the natural meals that I recommend, and the rock minerals like lava sand, and that in addition to the Garrett juice will help you get into production. And next time go with an organic potting soil. It's a whole lot better than that one. Okay.
I got you. I'm not really sure it's Scotts. It don't sound right, but
well, if it's loaded with fertilizer, that's probably what it is.
That could well be.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you, sir. And God bless you, brother.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Let's go next to Henderson, Texas, East Texas, and talk to Marcia. Hi, Marcia.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day, Howard.
Thank you, Marcia. Appreciate it.
I had a question about using purple hull pea hulls for mulch blueberries.
That'd be fine. You got a lot of them?
We do have hopefully we'll have a lot.
Okay. No, it'd be fine if you ground them up or composted them a little bit with some other material, it'd be even better. But I wouldn't have a problem with using the hulls 100% by themselves. There's nothing in them that would be toxic like you would get from walnut leaves and walnut remains. Nothing negative at all about that.
I had read one thing on peanut hulls maybe contributing to nematodes.
I've never heard that. I would kind of doubt it, really. Somebody that said that might have been trying to recommend something else. Peanut hulls are used quite a bit, and I've never seen them leading to a problem.
Okay. Well, that's what I was hoping that would...
It's always better, in my opinion, to mix things together, to have kind of a biodiverse mixture rather than using just one material. But we do it sometimes. We'll sometimes use, for example, 100% cedar mulch, for example, and it works fine. But just in general, I like to have a mixture.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Let's go to Garland, Texas, and talk to Gene. Hi, Gene.
Yeah, thank you, Howard. I'm taking so many notes here. I have rose bushes against the wall of my house.
Okay.
And back in the back is this big old poison ivy thing growing. And I called a reputable organic place and couldn't believe it when I asked what they used for that. And this man representing this company, this organic place, said they used Roundup. And I said, oh. And he assured me that, you know, these men who remember sprayed this stuff on the poison ivy, wore this special gear, and, you know, would only, you know, pick out the poison ivy and protect the roses. And then in a couple weeks when it died down, they'd come back and remove it. And, you know, I'm just, you know, and I said, you're organic. He said, the oldest one in Dallas County. And so, you know, I'm in a quandary here.
Who was
it? You know, the one we discussed this morning, Rhodes.
That's very disappointing to hear.
I had a feeling
that's who you were going to say.
Well, I appreciate it, and I don't want to, you know, and I certainly, you know, don't invent things, but I couldn't believe it when the man told me this. So what do I do about the poison ivy in my roses?
For one thing, Roundup's not even very effective at all on poison ivy. It's not effective other than contaminating the site when you try to kill woody plants with it. So I do the detox program. In fact, I'd get them to do it, and it's explained on my website. The only way to get rid of poison ivy is physical removal. And the people that are in that business, I've had some people on the show that are from up in the Midwest, and they are in the business of removing poison ivy, and that's what they do for a living. Let me put you on hold, and we'll chat just a bit more. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. To turn any space into a garden, it's easy with SmartPot. It's a fabric container that's portable, foldable, reusable, 100% BPA-free, provides better drainage than ceramic or clay pots, releases heat, and prevents soil compaction and even circling roots. A really big deal. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to SmartPots.com. That's SmartPots.com.
Don't let disease-carrying mosquitoes ruin your summer. Summit Mosquito Dunks kill the mosquitoes that transmit Zika virus, West Nile virus, and other diseases. Just float an all-natural mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, and wherever water collects to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days. Summit Mosquito Dunks are America's best-selling organic mosquito control because they won't harm people, pets, fish, birds, or other wildlife. Mosquito Dunks are available at garden centers and hardware stores.
As consumers in the 21st century, we are truly fortunate to have an abundance of choices in our daily lives. But when it comes to digestive health, there should only be one choice. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, easily recognizable in the bright green box on your retailer's shelf. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics stands out among all others. Never freeze-dried, but always live and viable due to a unique 3-year fermentation process, award-winning Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics provides the restorative balance needed to support your own exclusive probiotic fingerprint. And that is very important, as no two of us are alike. With over 30 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics takes digestive and wellness support to a whole new level. So look for the bright green box on your retailer shelf today. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by Stuart Frankie and his family in Hondo, Texas, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator works by stimulating the soil biology and roots to help plants all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. Medina products can help you spend your budget wisely, increasing production and treating the environment right. All the Medina products are free of toxic chemicals. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For proper care of your lawn and garden, Medina is the choice. Ask for Medina at your local hardware, nursery, or feed store. Medina Natural Organic Products, 50 years young and still environmentally friendly. MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. There's an open line if you want to jump on here real quick at 866-444-3478. Kathy in Plano next up. Hello, Kathy.
Good morning, Howard. I have two questions. One of them is about nematodes. The only nematodes I can find are in vermiculite. And okay, you taught us a long time ago that the way you could tell if your nematodes were alive or not was to stack them up in a pyramid and see if your pyramid starts collapsing. And you can't do that with vermiculite.
No, and there's... You know, it's one of the things that Bob Webster on his show down in San Antonio and I talk about quite a bit. He recommends a company called Hydro Gardens, and their nematodes come on a blue sponge. They're pretty expensive, but they may be the best way to get them and have them really viable and everything. You cut the sponge up and you put the sponge in the water and squeeze it out is how you get the nematodes going that way. And then the other one is a major, huge international company that makes them in little trays, and it looks kind of like a moist putty or something. It's looser than putty, but it has that kind of a texture, and it's moist, and that's the one that you can put in a little pile on a table and come back later, and it'll just be spread out. You know, if the nematodes in it are alive. It's what I just put out. That comes from Arbico is the easiest place to buy it. There's a couple of other retail companies, mail order companies, that buy the same nematodes from this large international company that makes them that way. The ones that come in a dry material in a little container are definitely the worst choice. They probably work pretty good, but they don't work as well as those other two that I talked about.
Well, in my opinion, they're too expensive to be able to take the risk, to have to take the risk of not knowing if they're alive or not.
Yeah, you could tell it. Nematodes are just barely microscopic. You can take an inexpensive microscope or even a strong hand lens and almost see them moving and active. You put a little water with it. You can test it yourself and see. It doesn't take a really good microscope. Just a child's microscope is strong enough to see it. And that's something that probably every gardener ought to have, to look at, you know, insects and things that are happening to leaves and all that sort of thing. So I guess I'd probably recommend that. And I would say this, that the nematodes that come on in that dry material are probably viable and probably work. It's just that those other two that I mentioned that come in a moist situation will tend to be more reliable and a better way to go. But they'll probably cost more, too.
Yeah. Okay. So my next question is, I have three volunteer crepe myrtles growing, one in the yard, two in the flower bed from my compost pile. My neighbor has a beautiful crepe myrtle that I just love. And so I'm really glad to have these. I want to transplant them out of the flower bed. When do I do that?
As soon as you get some fall color on the crepe myrtles, that means that all systems are pretty much shut down in the plant, and that would be the best time to do it. Now, you can move them with some success any time of the year, including when it's hot now. It's just that your chances are diminished. They're a lot less than if you wait till fall. If you do it in fall, your chances are about 100%.
Well, then I'm going to wait till fall.
Okay.
And I got one more question since I talked to the screener, and that is, it's not actually a question, it's a testimony. I took out a stand of poison ivy that was covering a fence line, covering probably about 15 feet of a fence line. It had been there for over 20 years, and I took it out with vinegar.
Really?
Yes. It took a lot of repeated applications. Where it was, it only got sun in the middle of the day, like, you know, 11 to 2 kind of time frame.
Uh-huh.
So every day I went out there and sprayed it, and once there were no more leaves on it, I dug it up. So it can be done.
And it didn't come back from any underground sprouts at that point?
No, because I really dug.
So you sprayed it, you were leaving it full and not cutting it back and spraying it as a full, the full vine.
Correct.
Interesting. Well, you know, I noticed something in my garden yesterday I was going to comment on that's kind of related to that. I had some liriope pop up in the cracks in my stone walkway that goes around it's the edging in my backyard between the beds and the grass. And it's stone on sand, so things can grow in the cracks. And I encourage dichondra to grow there when I can get the people that help me with the maintenance to not knock it out accidentally. But in one place, liriope had grown up pretty strongly, and it was impossible to pull it out. And so I had some vinegar. I can't remember if it was 10% or some 20% that I was experimenting with, but I just poured it on the liriope. And it browned it up, and I didn't pay any attention to it until a couple weeks later. And it is completely dead as a hammer. So using a real strong drenching of the vinegar into a tough-to-control plant might work as well. But if spraying the foliage works like you did, that's cool. It might work even better to cut it all the way down to the ground, and then as it starts to grow back, spray it and drench real heavily into the soil next time. It might be even an easier way to go.
But I wasn't going to get that close to that poison ivy.
Okay, I got you. Well, getting close to the dead plant, you could have gotten the poison ivy from that. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, I'll be back for hour number 3 for most of you, a lot of you, right after this. Don't go away.